Thank you so much.
Feel like $1 million.
Shout out TMZ, you up?
Let me check out that rig.
TMZ stands for the Mayweather Zone.
How'd you find me, bro? I got my disguise on.
I love my TMZ family. My sports.
Welcome to TMZ Sports. I'm Mike Babcock with my guy, as always, Mojo Mutati. Mojo, a fresh off WrestleMania. We'll get into that in a little bit. Mojo, we're going to start with the other company that is owned by TKO, the UFC, and UFC superstar John Jones, Mojo, who is once again involved in a situation with police. But John is adamant that he did absolutely nothing wrong. So let's break this thing down, Mojo. Back on March 30th, John Jones, and everyone agrees on these aspects of the story. John Jones, at his home in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he has lived for a very long time, hanging out, actually celebrating a birthday for one of his friends. Well, John says that a UFC drug official, anti-doping official, showed up to his home and something happened. Now, this official, Mojo, claims that John was ultra aggressive and actually snatched her cell phone from her hands and threatened to kill her. But John says, hey, look, I admit I was upset that they just showed up unannounced, but I did nothing of the sort. So now you've got a he said, she said here. This woman actually went to police and filed an assault report with the police department, and they obviously are now investigating the claim. Mojo, there is surveillance video of at least part of the interaction, we'll call it, between John. There you see John with his shirt off, and you see the official to his left. She is the testing official. You're going to see at one point here, John actually give her a high five, Mojo. You see John walking there. The reason we're blurring it is because his pants are kind of falling down off his butt a little bit. So that's the reason for that blur. There was the high five, Mojo. You see John give the testing official a high five. It would seem that everything was okay at this point. Obviously, it's just moments before, though, that she claims that John, again, grabbed her phone and threatened to kill her. We're going to hear from John in a second, Mojo. I have a statement, but this is where we're at right now. And again, cops are currently investigating.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big time he said, she said, right? I mean, that's all we have to go off of right now. We don't even have his test results back. So who knows if there was anything in there that could be a factor here. Right. But I mean, looking at this tape, if you're accusing John Jones of what you're accusing him of, I don't think I'm giving him a high five afterwards. Right. I mean, these guys look like buddies here. She even initiated the high five if we're watching it again. So that part doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible for what she's accusing him of to have happened, but it just makes it very, very unlikely thing. As far as being testy with your tester, I've been in that situation before. I know how obnoxious that can be. Not just showing up at your home when you have family or friends over, how awkward or uncomfortable that can be. But sometimes these testers aren't the most friendly people. They almost like talk down to you, you know, like you're working for them or something. When someone shows up at your house and treats you a certain way in front of your friends and family, I can understand why one might be rude back to that person. Yeah. But you know, all that aside, I mean, this is a pretty big accusation and we need more information, but the high five just makes this whole thing a little bit unbelievable too.
It's the same reaction I had, Mojo, and I think a lot of people had that reaction too. If somebody had just done these terrible things to you, it's strange to get in their minds and see why they would high five him, but who knows? People reacted to stressful situation in different ways, so we just don't know. But certainly, I think that video was an important piece of the puzzle. Now, John has obviously heard the claims. He has heard what people have said. More trouble for John. Hey, it's the way I opened the show, and it's not debatable. John has had issues in the past, and they've been well documented. But here he says he did nothing wrong. And we mentioned we had a statement from John. Here's straight from the horse's mouth. John Jones says, I want to clarify that there is video showing both drug testers leaving my home after the testing session where we exchanged a high five and a hug. Although I was frustrated with the unprofessionalism and used profanity out of frustration, it ended friendly and amicably, nothing threatening at all. I must say this particular tester behaved quite unprofessionally and even breached standard protocol along with HIPAA laws. Throughout my 20 years of being subjected to drug tests, I have never encountered such an incident with a DCO officer before. So there you hear it, Mojo. John says, look, I've been through this for 2 decades now. I've never been through a situation like this. Again, cops investigating. We'll see what happens with the investigation. Stay tuned. All right, Mojo, moving on to T'Vondre Sweat. Now, if you know that name, it's because T'Vondre is one of the best defensive linemen in the entire 2024 class, Mojo. But T'Vondre got into some trouble over the weekend because on Sunday, T'Vondre was arrested for DWI, driving while intoxicated, in the Lone Star State. Now, was handcuffed, was hauled off to jail, ultimately was freed on bond, posted $3,000 bond, and he was released, Mojo. But this is a guy who is, look, he was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. He won the Outland Trophy, certifying him as the best interior defensive lineman last season, Mojo. The guy had a great season, 45 tackles, 2 sacks. He is an absolute stud. You look at mock drafts, you've got this guy going anywhere from the late first round, second, third round. Bottom line, this man is going to be drafted at the end of April when the NFL draft rolls around. But this is not going to help him. I mean, he'll still be in the NFL, obviously, no question. But this is obviously something that's going to be concerning as NFL teams look at T'Vondre now and say, hey, why did you allegedly drive drunk weeks before the NFL draft?
Yeah, this is a huge problem. We see this every single year. Someone goes out and they kill it in college for 4 to 5 years doing everything right. They go to the combine. They absolutely dominate it. They follow it up with a strong pro day performance. Everything is looking perfect. Their life, their future is all but guaranteed. And then they do something dumb and it just causes devastating, devastating reactions to it. You hate to see this. You know how much I hate seeing people drinking and driving. I condemn it on the show every time we see it. It's just really, really bad timing. And it sends an even greater message to a team that you just can't help yourself, that even when it matters, when it's crunch time, you can't resist these outside urges and it can kill your status. I mean, we've seen guys that were supposed to be first round picks, locks, guaranteed first round, drop to the fourth round, even drop to being undrafted altogether. On a better side, maybe we see like a Jalen Carter going from potentially one overall down to 10, but that's still millions of dollars that costs you. A huge problem. Was this a mistake? Absolutely, it was a mistake. Can he learn from this and make sure it never happens again? Of course, but the fact of the matter is it did happen at a terrible time. And I mean, time will tell to see how devastating this will be, but this will cost this man money for sure.
The WWE pulled out all of the stops for the biggest weekend in sports entertainment. When TMZ Sports returns, we recap the two-night event from Philly, which included a Kelce brother. That's next.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten, R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
Connects with a message. Bray with the splash. Cover. Brian Andrade with the win.
Here are your winners. The team of Andrade and WWE Hall of Famer, Rey Mysterio.
But who on earth?
I think I know. Yep. That's who I thought. Greatest center of all time, Jason Kelce.
of the world champion Philadelphia Eagles and Lane Johnson, world champion tackle of the Philadelphia Eagles. Those luchadors were excited to help Ray beat the hell out of his son.
Welcome back to TMZ Sports, Mike and Mojo. Of course, Mojo, and you were there. You were in Philadelphia. That was Jason Kelce in Philadelphia at WrestleMania 40. Look at that. Hopping the barrier with his former teammate now, Lane Johnson, and helping Rey Mysterio and Andrade beat Rey's son, Dominic, and Santos Escobar. Mojo, I thought that was an awesome moment, especially when he took off the luchador mask and the crowd absolutely lost it. I think a lot of people knew or thought it was Jason, but then when he removed the mask, just the roar from all of those people was absolutely awesome. Mojo, of course, there was Cody Rhodes finishing his story. Well, I don't know anything about wrestling, Mojo. Talk to me about this weekend. It seemed awesome. As I watched it knowing nothing, I loved it.
I mean, hey, WrestleMania 40 was one for the books. It was straight insanity. Two nights of chaos. Lived up to all the hype coming from the hype guy, guaranteed. Hey, we all knew Jason Kelce was going to be involved with this pay-per-view somehow, right? Like, we all knew that. Them appearing in the match between all the luchadors was not my guess of how they were going to be involved with this. Look at this. This is so ridiculous. It was so funny. But, hey, they did great. I mean, obviously, when outside celebrities that are untrained come in, they're not going to be doing anything too crazy. Right. But Jason Kelce did what Jason Kelce does. I'm glad he didn't get injured jumping off the ropes because it looked like his knees almost snapped back for a second. But hey, jumping over the top rope in some Timberland boots, kind of impressive.
Pretty
not surprised
impressive.
Considering his athleticism, but big guy's got some hops. Then moving along to Cody Rhodes finishing the story. I mean, this was the match that everybody was looking forward to after losing to Roman last year, starting over from scratch, overcoming all of these injuries, the transition from AEW, winning back-to-back Royal Rumbles, and finally getting the job done in just a ridiculous matchup that saw John Cena, The Undertaker, both the Usos, Solo Sikoa. I mean, everybody came back for this match. It seemed like you just didn't know who was coming out next. But in the end, it was Cody finally finishing the story. Obviously, his dad, Dusty Rhodes, watching from the heavens. A man that I was very close with. My coach, actually, when I first got started.
That's amazing, Mojo. How amazing. How incredible is that?
Dusty was the absolute best. Everybody loved him. Everyone owes him so much. And to see his son have this full circle moment, I mean, that's the moment that most wrestling fans won, ending Roman Reigns' unbelievable streak. I could have seen this match go either way, but in the end, it was Cody. And hey, we got a lot of storylines to come. Monday Night Raw is going to be extremely exciting tonight.
UFC 300 just days away, and I know Alex Pereira, Jamal Hill, that may be the main event, but I think undoubtedly the fight that fight fans are most looking forward to involves this man right here, of course, our friend going back forever now, UFC superstar Justin Gaethje. Does it mean anything? And if it does, how much does it mean to be a really prominent part of one of the biggest UFC cards ever, and really one of the most important cards in that it's UFC 300?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a testament to what I've done here. My first interaction with the UFC fans was at a press conference. I'm the most violent lightweight on the planet and the most exciting, and I think I've lived up to that. So, I spoke it into reality. I'm the most consistent guy. I think that's why, we're kind of the people's main event, because they know they're going to get a show.
How about fighting Max, a guy who obviously has made his living at a bit of a smaller division at 145, but arguably the greatest ever do it in that division. How about fighting a fellow legend in Max Holloway?
Yeah. I mean, fighting a former champion, I mean, it's everything for my legacy. This guy's been, I've said it many times, he's younger than me, but it's a guy I grew up watching. 2012, he was in the UFC and I was just turning pro. So it's just crazy that, you keep working your ass off and you get to these situations. So it's fun, man. It's the fights are the most fun. The training is tedious and, you know, difficult, but the fight night is everything. So that preparation is key.
Talk to me about Max. We obviously watched him go up. We watched him fight Dustin, someone who you are obviously very familiar with. Will he have trouble in that you're going to be the bigger guy and presumably the stronger guy in there? How about that? Give me a scouting report of Max Holloway, not at 145, but at 155.
Yeah, I think the circumstances are a little bit different. If I recall correctly, I think it was kind of a short notice thing when he fought Dustin Poirier. You know, so he was not bulking up per se. I think he's probably as big or maybe a little bit bigger than me. When I, you know, I had that press conference, I don't even know where I was at, but he was definitely as big as me. I think he probably walks around as heavy or heavier than me. And so I think his size is not going to be a factor in this fight. I think he's going to be strong. Hopefully a little bit slower because he is bigger, because that guy throws a lot. So, you know, you put a little bit more weight on, you got to use a little bit more energy. So we'll see how it goes.
You know, I know you're somebody that is intensely focused on what's in front of you. Have you thought about what winning this fight means for you, aside from all the legacy and how important it would be to have that notch on your belt? You're the number two ranked guy, right, just in your division. He's two at 145. What does it mean for you getting a title shot going forward at lightweight?
Yeah, this is the biggest fight of my career. I mean, a loss here definitely takes away those aspirations of fighting for the gold. You know, and a win here definitely solidifies that. I think I win this fight, and my goal is to fight the champion at Madison Square Garden. You know, I think that timeline works perfect, and I think that gives me, you know, going through these camps, you know, is really tough on the body, so it gives me that time to recover and get back in training camp and train again. And I think that's a perfect timeline. Madison Square Garden, whoever's the champion.
When you think about this fight, if you do think about and envision how it turns out, is there a way that you see it going?
No, I think I don't go in there with too many, you know, I don't put too much on what's going to happen. I think I just got to trust in my skills. Like I always say, you know, I got to be my best self. I obviously inflict a lot of damage, you know, hopefully find that knockout shot, but be ready for five-minute rounds, which is exhausting. And especially with a guy like Max, who punches in volume and is constantly working. So I've been working on my cardio a lot this fight. I'm in great shape. You know, I've been able to hold my weight well through that work. And, you know, I'm confident that I'm going to be in the best shape that I've ever been in when it comes into a fight.
Well, Justin, obviously it goes without saying, but it's a can't-miss fight. It's a can't-miss card. UFC 300, always appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much, as always.
All right. Yes, sir. Have a good one.
Mojo, that big Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight going down July 20th. And I think a lot of people, Mojo, have said that Jake's going to beat the hell out of Mike. Of course, Mike's one of the most ferocious and scary fighters we've ever seen, but he's going to be 58 years old when they step in that boxing ring on July 20th. Well, Mojo, maybe people are going to change their mind in a few seconds, because we've got some video of Mike over the weekend. That's not prime Mike Tyson when he was 20 years old and was heavyweight champion. No, Mojo. That's 57-year-old Mike Tyson at a signing event over the weekend in Virginia. It was called the Fighterman Sports Group is the company actually that put the event on. And very cool for the fans. Very thrilling to be able to have some FaceTime with Mike. A little intimidating, though, because he had no shirt on, as you can see, Mojo. He's got abs. He's got a six-pack. You look at this video, Mojo, combined with the video of Mike sparring, I'm starting to get a little bit worried for Jake Paul.
Absolutely, man. He is taking this one, I feel like, a lot more seriously than his last fight. I mean, the training videos, they've been legit scary, man. I mean, for an older gentleman is the word I'm using. I mean, he looks like a savage. I mean, these shots look like they could put somebody down, a trained boxer down for the count, you know? So combine that with how he's looking. Yeah, man, I would be worried if I was Jake Paul. I mean, shoot, if I look like that, I would never wear a shirt. I'd never wear a shirt for this show. I can tell you that much right now, because I've never had abs like that a day in my life. But Mike Tyson, man, I'm liking what I'm seeing. It is making this fight just that much more exciting. And that's what it is, baby. We're selling hype. Let's go.
That's it. And look, let's be honest. We know what Mike has accomplished. He's one of the most accomplished fighters ever. Forget heavyweights, but period. It all depends on how seriously Mike is taking this fight. And I think his body mojo is a clear indication that he's really in the gym and that he's working hard. And I think that is evidence that you're going to get a really good fight. And I wasn't excited about it, to be honest, when I first heard about it. But the fact that it's on Netflix, that's new. It's at AT&T Stadium, Jerry's World, that's fun. And to see the way Mike is taking this so seriously, I mean, I think this is going to be a really huge event, and you're going to have millions and millions of people watching this thing because it's free on Netflix Mojo. Obviously, we've got some time to talk about this between now and July 20th. I am super excited. We are out of time for today, Mojo. We got a good one tomorrow. Teron Armstead, the standout left tackle for the Miami Dolphins. This guy is a five-time Pro Bowler. He's an All-Pro. He is one of the best linemen in the league right now, period. Mojo, he's coming in the office. We're going to sit down with him tomorrow. Lots of questions about Stephon Diggs, the Dolphins, Tua, his music career, a bunch to talk to Teron about. We're going to have that tomorrow, and that is going to make for a great show.
Absolutely, Babcock. One of the best big men in the game in office should absolutely make tomorrow the best show since today.